Dr. Khomo, good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you and good evening to the listeners.
Always a pleasure to have you on the platform. Let's maybe, Dr. Khomo, because I know I've spoken to you on this platform about the Rwandan question before. But I think for the purposes of some of our listeners who might have missed that conversation, give us the context of how, I guess, the impasse of 1994, the bloody genocide of 1994, was resolved and why, I guess, nearly 30 years later, we're still grappling with some of these incidences that are being linked to the Kagame administration.
Okay, thanks for...
And maybe, I guess, you know, with that context that you've painted so well, and maybe let's do this. Let's take the spot break and then we'll come back to that context, because I think there's a lot of contemporary developments between Rwanda and Mozambique that make this very, very curious for me, and just the timing of it. And we'll come back to that in Dade Khomo after this. 10 minutes it is before 9 p.m. And you tuned in to Metro FM Talk here on the Mighty Metro. It's our segment Under the Microscope. And this evening we shine a spotlight on the latest developments coming out of the Rwandan refugee community in Mozambique. This after the merciless killing of Revocat Karimangingo, who was a lieutenant in the Rwandan army that was toppled in 1994 by forces led by Paul Kagame. And I'm in conversation with producer and presenter Channel Africa, Ndade Izakomo. Ndade Khomo, I don't know if I'm dabbling in the realm, the realm of conjecture and conspiracy theory. If I draw links just based on the timing between the intervention of the Rwandan armed forces a few weeks ago northeastern parts of Mozambique, and I guess the timing of some of these actions, some of the threats, because we do know Mr. Karimangingo had warned that there was a plot to kill him not so long ago. Am I wrong to be drawing these connections, or am I just, I guess, you know, blowing a steam in a, what do they call it, a storm in a teacup?
Well, I think you're blowing the steam, because basically Mr. Karimangingo is not the first Rwandan who was assassinated in Mozambique. Some years before that, there was a Rwandan who was assassinated in Mozambique. Yeah? So you find that this assassination, according to the Rwandese refugees, and by the way, there's a very good report which has been written by Freedom House, Rwandan Transnational Repression Case Study, okay? Rwanda as a case study of transnational repression. Now, they've got everything written there. It's not me. You can get it from Freedom House. You can Google it. Anybody can Google it. Yeah. Now, you find that the Rwandan government, they've got their secret service, which is all over. It goes through the embassies, works through the embassies. I think the embassy is just a financial area. Those people are not coordinated. They don't want to get them too close, but they just provide the finance. Yeah. But then these people are embedded within the refugee, the Rwandan community. Yeah, there have been killings which have been taking place in Mozambique before even the intervention of the Rwandan army in Mozambique. And again, the thing which is much more disturbing is not the presence of the Rwandan army in Mozambique. It is issues like what the Kingdom of Lesotho has done to come and have a special relation, to sign a diplomatic protocol with the Rwanda, whereby they're going to interact and cooperate in security and law and order level. Now that itself, it actually shows that Rwanda has actually established a foothold in this area, the SADC. In fact, in the Southern African area, is an area where many people within the African continent they like to come and have their to have a refuge in. That's South Africa. Yeah. And right now the South African government is at very poor. It has a poor relation with Rwanda and also the Rwandan embassy. This in the due to the death of Karegeya, at least the assassination and the assassinations and also the attempts on these Rwandan refugees whereby some of the Rwandan officials are wanted to come and answer charges of murder. Yet these guys, they are actually in Rwanda, protected by the Rwandan government. So the relationship between the South Africa, that is diplomatic relation, and Rwanda, it is not fine. So now they find that these people have actually established a base in neighboring Lesotho. That is disturbing. Yeah? Now, with the presence of Rwandese soldiers in Mozambique, that is due not primarily to the Mozambican government. The Mozambican government had no alternative but to actually accept these soldiers who were put there by the French. Yeah, the French actually deemed that they're having the Rwandan soldiers as proxies in actually protecting their big asset, which is the Cabo Delgado gasworks, which is under Total. And there again, even South Africa is involved in that, because I mean to say that South Africa has got a deal with Total, whereby South Africa is going to get some gas.
Yeah, and there's a Sasol pipeline there as well. There's a Sasol pipeline not too far from there as well, which might.
No, that Sasol pipeline comes from Pande gas. Mm. That is the further down south. Pande is not in Cabo Delgado. Yeah? Mm. Pande is something else which is further south.
In Namban, I think, yeah?
Namban, which is really next to Maputo.
Mm.
Yeah, you got Maputo end of the Tsongas, and from the Tsongas you get the Chopis, Nyambane, Chopis, and then you get the Manikas, you come up as you go on. That can give you the different areas and different people, to Nyasa and to every other, whatever it is, to the other provinces. But you're talking about Cabo Delgado. The Cabo Delgado gas is actually being developed by Total. And South Africa has got a deal with Total to supply gas for our gas to liquid plant, which is around Cape Town there. Most gas. We have most gas in there. Most will be, sorry.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, the most gas is actually low. Most of them got problems because it cannot run, because the pressure of the gas fine is very low, and it has got to get time to build up the pressure. They've discovered a new gas reserve offshore in Western Cape, but that will come online in about 5 to 7 years. So in the interim, and that is a Total find. In the interim, we have signed an agreement with Total that you're going to get gas from Mozambique. Well, this is supposed to be classified. It's not that classified, but I mean to say that as journalists, we know about these things here, but they're not being talked about. So basically, we've also got an interest in seeing that those terrorists are actually put down. But then Kagame was informed that he was offered to come and be part of that, and he was rebuffed by the SADC countries. But then people should remember that Macron, when he came to South Africa, his first stop was Rwanda, where he requested Rwanda to send troops and to Mozambique. And he actually fixed that to the Mozambican government, who have got no other alternative. And from there, he came to South Africa. So basically, Rwandan troops are in Mozambique as proxies
at the behest of
the French.
Yeah,
because the France and Rwanda, they've actually had a rapprochement, although at one time they were at loggerheads, but now they are very close. I think it's about 2 years ago when Kagame went to France, visited Macron, and Macron said that he actually gave a statement saying that he would like to see Kagame being the head of the Francophone family in Africa. So now you should be aware that Rwanda is a proxy of the French. Wherever the
French
Kagame
now is
Rwanda
part of
is there.
Francafrique but, now.
Sorry?
So is Rwanda now, seen as the center if I can put it this way, of the French Commonwealth or Francafrique, or, you know.
Not really, because basically Rwanda was never ruled by the French, although that's a Francophone country.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. Rwanda was actually part of the Belgian interest in Central Africa. Mm. Yeah? It was Rwanda-Urundi, together with the DRC.
Yeah.
It was administered basically from Leopoldville, which is Kinshasa. But then it was a French-speaking country. Mm. But now Rwanda has become an Anglophone country, simply because the people in power of the RPF, they grew up in Uganda.
In Uganda, yeah.
And they are English-speaking, so they could not fit into the French linguistic dealings of government in Rwanda. So they just legislated that English would be the lingua franca, and they've joined the Commonwealth, British Commonwealth. But they still maintain those relationship with the French.
And I guess they still maintain the Rwandan franc because they didn't change that currency. But we're going to have to leave it there. It's so unfortunate. I mean, I wish whenever we talk to you, we could speak for 2 hours because you're always a wealth of knowledge and you generously share your insights with us. So we're going to have to park it here for tonight, unfortunately. But I want to thank you for taking time out to speak to us.
Thanks for having me, mate.
Thank you very much. And Dade Izakhomo speaking to us there from SABC's Channel Africa. The man with the jams is standing by. He's your soulful accompaniment from 9 right through to midnight. And a big thank you, Chola, not yours, for putting together this great product. Have yourself a great evening. Take strength, Ma Africa. Nangoku, sisayibanga le economy.